Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the Disc Golf Answer Man. I am Bobby Cool, Daddy Slick Breeze. I have with me my most welcomed guests and co-hosts. They are not guests, they are co-hosts. Robert McCall and Eric Oakley. And if you saw my hand movement, if you saw the way I was doing my hands, it would be like the so much more emphasis put on everything. But you can't see my hands,
so
you don't see that.
So just imagine that.
Just imagine my hands waving in the air. How are you guys doing today?
If you're listening, imagine me playing with Play-Doh. Because that's what I'm doing, basically.
Oh, I didn't know it was like Play-Doh.
It's called Therapuddy. But it's basically like Play-Doh.
And they probably charge you $50 for it?
No, it was actually really cheap. It was like $12.
Nice.
Can you put it on a comic book and have the comic book show up on the putty?
Probably.
Did you ever do that with Silly Putty? Did you guys even have Silly Putty?
Yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Did you ever put it on the comics to see it transfer to the comic?
Oh, yeah. Super cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate that.
I'm here for you. I actually know what you're talking about, though. I just didn't.
I do too.
Anyway.
Dude, so Eric, can you just go ahead and send us some of that Silly Putty also?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to just try and get as much as you can out of me?
Hey, no, Bill's kicking up. That's why I went back to the living room. Eric,
I forgot
put these
to grab
in the
mine.
Mail. Look at this thing. Bjorg.
Bjorg.
I haven't gotten to throw it yet, but it looks sick. So I'm excited about
it's
that.
It's good, dude.
Got this. What's the plastic on this one?
Let me go get mine.
That is Splatter S Blend.
Splatter S Blend Alpaca. Feels really good.
Should be like an S-Line P2.
Okay, so like pretty stable.
Nice, yeah, great nice great thrower. Yeah, great Career. Thrower.
Okay, sick. Then we got the Oakley Exodus multicolor stamp. Pretty sick.
Yeah, this dude, you're going like to love
your,
that.
This is like your T-Bird fairway, like neutral to slightly overstable fairway.
So that looks neutral. I'd call it very neutral. Okay.
Straight, cool.
Very, very That's good. Straight.
I dig that. Big fan. And then we got the Durnister.
The Durnister. There aren't many with that stamp out there, so that's an I blend, so it's going to be a little bit straighter, but I couldn't give up any of my S blends. I'm sorry.
Okay, so first of all, how dare you? Yeah. And second of all, this stamp for sale online tomorrow. So just
Andy
bid,
Smart.
Bid
it's
it
like
up.
End of a star, yeah.
Just go ahead and bid it up. And I'll get a good price for it. So just holler at me about that. Yeah, this is dope, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. So let me know how they fly. We're going to try and push to get more dynasties out there.
For the audio listeners, did you explain to them what you were showing them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So basically, Eric Oakley's...
This one is orange.
That's gracious. Ooh, a 168 Exodus? What is it, Exodus throw line?
Explorer,
like a neutral T-bird. Yeah,
yeah. I got
Good
you a lighter weight
one. 168. Yeah. Yep.
Because he's a noodle.
He got a little baby arm.
Oh, look at the little baby.
Yeah, that's rich coming from me. I'm just not throwing very far at all.
that's
funny, cool. man. Yeah. Dude, hey, speaking of baby arms, though, we took Owen to the doctor for his 18th month checkup today. He is in the 99th percentile for height and the 99th percentile for weight.
Oh, nice. Big boy.
Big boy.
Nice. Yeah, which makes sense because I'm very tall as well.
Yes, you are.
And Monsters. So is Shay. And Shay is actually kind of on the taller side for girls. I am by no means on the taller side, but here we are.
How tall is
maybe
she?
Maybe he'll be an athlete.
Athlete?
He is...
No.
Oh, how tall is Shay? She's 5'9".
Oh, and you're right at 5'9", too?
Or I'm 5'10", thank you.
5'8"? 5'8"?
Yeah, 5'7 and half.
How tall are you, Robert?
I'm actually 5'10".
No, you're not.
So you okay.
I am.
So
100%.
We're the same height. Do you feel like that we are the same height?
I think we're pretty darn close, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably say so as well. There are times where I have never felt shorter until I'm back out playing on tour and I feel like everybody's 6'2" minimum. And I'm just like, yeah. I remember
there's a bunch of big boys out there.
early photos with Simon and Eagle when I was on tour with Discmania was just like, I am the smallest human. Like it,
right?
Because they're just so lanky. It was very funny.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, Texas States. You, who, did we decide if anybody watched it? I know I didn't watch it, but
I watched the final round.
Yeah. What were your thoughts?
I thought when I heard about the course initially, I just thought it was going to suck.
Really?
I don't know why. I know that Barsby designed it, and so it wasn't because of that, but they were just talking about like how it was combined and what holes they used, and I just couldn't really envision it. And after seeing it, I was like, I think that's pretty good. Considering the park that they had, I think they did a really good job. I really like Dogwood as it is, but not everybody does. And so
Dogwood offers one type of golf. One type of golf only, where the Thorn offered a good mixture. And what I had heard, Thomas Gilbert got into town, he actually had to DNF because he rolled his ankle because of the sand out there. So that was one part that if the terrain wasn't sand and it was grass, it would be aesthetically pleasing and it would be a lot. Like, the course itself would be significantly better. But considering what we have, it is what it was. Now, there was a lot of complaints from a lot of players that were like, why would we play anything but Dogwood? And there are probably 6 or 7 holes on Dogwood that are wooded and overly wooded just for the sake of being wooded. And they don't feel... It doesn't feel as rewarding to play that golf over and over and over and over again. And this is just this is strict opinion based. And I think this is a better direction to have a better mixture, like you get at Waco, like you kind of get at Maple Hill. You get that a little bit at at Fox Run Meadows has a little bit more of that. Brewster not as much, as more wooded the whole time, but Fox Run really does that with a couple of the holes where you're kind of in the woods a little bit and towards the back half that forces you to switch how you play the game. And right. I think that's going to ask more of players because like places like Jonesboro or Country Club, it's not, you're not going to get that ever. It's just full sends on full sends on full sends. But when you have the opportunity and you have the property, we need to use that. And I think they did a fantastic job. I think one thing we need to stop doing as people and as touring players is the immediate, you change something? Oh my God, burn it to the ground. Like, we need to stop doing that. We need to stop being so overly judgmental until after the tournament. We would want our tournaments and the tournament, the Pro Tour, to continue to push and elevate and take chances. Rather than being stagnant, that's where we will never grow. But taking chances like this increased the amount of spectators that could be there, increased the live feed, and did a lot of really good things for that event. And I, for one, watching it looked fun. I would have probably enjoyed it. I'm bummed that I didn't get to, but I definitely think it would have been good.
Yeah, I think they did a good job. I'll tell you one thing that stuck out to me about it is Ricky and Calvin especially are jamming on 9-speed discs and throwing them easy for 40 and just on like a controlled line. I mean, that top level of distance, especially like this weekend, Ricky and Calvin just kind of had a different gear, and that was pretty fun to watch.
So, it was very fun to watch.
Good weekend.
There was a couple holes that were unique in shape and type of shot that you had to throw.
The one
that
before
comes
you
to
cross
mind,
the road.
Yes,
is like that flex shape. Okay, so you've played out there before, right?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
In Lindsay Park. Yeah, same here. Several times. That's on the blue course normally.
Mm-hmm.
That like for a normal open player, that's like a demanding line, like with a distance driver that you hit hard with OB right and woods left. It is such a difficult hole, and it plays a little uphill, by the way. So it's not just 435. It probably plays more like 460 or so. And the way that they like the lead card just abused that shot. I mean, I was shocked. Like, if I get inside circle 2 on that, I'm stoked.
It's so, cool. I'm very, very happy that they decided to make a change. And if it becomes the Piney Woods Open or whatever it becomes, I don't know if there was some people that were really frustrated that it was called the Texas State Championships when there are a lot of Texas players didn't get to play. And it's like, ah, I get you. But also at the same time, it's a Pro Tour event and it's probably not going to be the Texas State Championships next year, where the Texas State Championships will move to a different club and go on from there.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that they did a good job. Steve-O ran a good event. So I'm sorry.
politics.
Dang it.
Freaking Steve-O.
So.
It's been like doing good things for.
Hey, and congratulations to Steve-O. He got engaged.
Oh, for real?
Is that
yes,
good?
Yes, he did.
Dude. Yeah,
awesome.
They haven't been dating for that long, have they?
No, they decent amount of time, but they are in it. You love to see it.
I want to meet her. Oh, I remember me and Steve-O had a couple talks about like dating and stuff like that back in the day. He's a good guy. Nice. I'm glad he found someone.
He's a very good guy.
Yeah,
I'm glad very he found good someone. Guy.
Good for
one
him.
One of the best.
All right, let's see. Anything else we want to talk about before we jump into the questions?
No, but congratulations to Rick and Paige. And there was a lot of other players that you got to see out there pushing, which was really, really cool to see. Like I will forever love getting to see Maria. Is always good. You know, Wild Kristen's here, seeing her on coverage and everything. It's always, always good. You know, on the men's side, I will say it was interesting to see, you know, two kind of lesser known players in GT Hancock and John Willis qualify for the USDGC. Congrats to them. That's huge, especially in that field. And, you know, they both, you know, GT played a little bit more steady the whole time, where John popped off at the end. So it's good to see, and big ups to those guys, because I think it's going to be really hard. We're going to see a lot of decent players not playing the USDGC this year for a couple reasons of tournaments that are offering spots not being as accessible, and there being less spots to go around. So
mm-hmm.
Nice. So but it's going to be you know, they've earned it, and hope they're ready for Rock Hill in the fall.
Good on them.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, let's jump into the questions. This one's from Kyle. Remember, guys, as always, go to discgolfanswerman.com, submit your disc golf questions. This one is, he says, what's your favorite overrated disc?
Destroyer?
It'd have to be that. It'd have to be that for me. Or Buzz. If everybody, like, if you're talking super popular discs, the ones that everyone's like, oh, it's really not that good. But it's just like people would just buy a lot of them or whatever. Then for me, it's the Buzz. Like, it's just super duper straight. I mean,
dude, also like the Dynasty is just so overrated. It's so sick. Like people,
it's like my favorite disc.
Like, but it's like the best. It's like my favorite. So alpacas are like absurd. People just talk about them all the time and should just throw them for every shot.
Dang, it's like crazy, man.
Plug.
Nice.
But yeah, like the Buzzer Destroyer would be that. I mean, I still really like AVRs. I have the lotion, my jump putting AVR, that I think it's the best.
It's the best.
But yeah, I think those are the Destroyer and Buzz are the two that are in my bag that are very popular and I still think are awesome.
So yeah. This alpaca that you sent.
Alpaca.
What's it like? What's it gonna throw like?
It's gonna be like if from what you've maybe thrown, it's gonna be more like a Faith was from the Latitude 64 lineup.
Okay.
Overstable throwing putter, should be good on some approaches. More glide than a Suspect. Not as overstable as a Harp.
Is it going to dump like a Suspect at the end?
No, it should glide out to the left.
Glide
should have
out,
a nice,
okay, more. Okay.
Nice finish.
Gotcha.
It's
you
a dope,
throw it
it's
really
a dope
hard like I do.
Yeah.
If you throw it really hard like me, it'll just go straight.
If you remember back in the day, Paul McBeth was like incredibly good at throwing the S-Line P2, and this is borderline the same disc, and similar options like, you can push it over and it'll be a straight flyer. Like, well, they won't peel to the right. If you throw it flat, it should just work left. You throw it on hyzer, it's going to hold the hyzer the whole way. It's that kind of stability where it's like very, very workable. I throw a D blend, so in the baseline plastic, and I get a similar flight that I would from an S blend, but the S blend just holds up longer, is a little bit more overstable, but I like that when I beat up a D blend, it kind of gets a little more just go, a little more distance out of right. it that I can throw the same shot. So
sick. Cool.
All right, AP House has a question. Hello to Gam Fam. I'm having issues with off-axis torque leading my throws to flutter coming out. I feel myself, and I see I'm swooping up and down on my pull through instead of a straight line. What recommendations would you have to help fix this? Would I reach, or I'm sorry, would a higher or lower reach back help?
Yes, but it's counterintuitive. You think that a higher reach back would help. It does not. It kind of lends itself to more of that swoop if you feel like you've got to get your arm back in a position, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend to you is reach back a little lower than feels comfortable to you and see how that works. Because off-axis torque, for those of you who don't know, is caused when your angle of reach back doesn't match your angle of at your hit point and then your follow through, right? Ideally, those should all be the same. So if you're trying to throw a flat shot, you should reach back flat, your hit point should be flat, and your follow through should be flat, right? If you're trying to throw a hyzer, tilt your body a little bit forward and then same angles, but you'd reach back a little lower, hit on that hyzer angle, then follow through a little toward the sky, right? So when those angles don't match up, that's what off-axis torque is. And usually that happens when you are kind of like rolling your wrist toward the end of the flight as well, trying to force something that's overstable to go straighter than it really wants to. And so a couple of recommendations. One would be to reach back a little bit lower. That's going to help you achieve that straighter line pull through. But two is, let me put it this way. When I realized that I was finally making progress with my form, it was when I realized that discs that I was already throwing were more overstable than I gave them credit for, right? Because mm-hmm. I was trying to throw a destroyer on every shot and get it to go straight, and the only way that I could do that was to kind of like rip it over and flutter it to that anhyzer, and then it would go. I mean, it didn't look terrible, but it's not ideal. When you throw with clean form and don't have a lot of flutter, your discs are going to act more stable than you're used to. And so try this. Go one step down in stability for the shot that you're trying to throw. Throw it at 60-70% and see if that doesn't help you some. So instead of forcing over a Firebird or a T-Bird or whatever it is, throw that Leopard disc, throw that Maverick or whatever it is. Try and get that to fly straight at 70%, and you'll be shocked at how much easier it is to do that.
Dude. Spot on, Mr. McCall. Spot on. Slow down. Just stop trying so hard. It's like other parts that'll come into it. I actually have started throwing again, and I've been fan gripping fairways. I did it today, and I was using a D blend Centurion, which is a Centurion is like a Leopard or FD mold. I was throwing my Mantra, which is a very understable mold from. Thank you, Thomas. An understable mold from ThoughtSpace Athletics, and I was like, okay, cool. You have to be under control, keep it on the angle, because usually when I throw those, it's like boom, out, hyzer, and then turns and holds and never comes out, but I'm trying to throw them at a slower power, and I feel like my angles are better because I'm working from that smoothness and trusting the understable disc to try and make them fly, so I think there's a lot that can be learned from that disking down, like you talked about.
Yeah, definitely. Just one more example of that. So if you can think of the Eureka course at Ledgestone, there's, I think it's like hole 8, maybe hole 7 or 8 is this little short par 3. It's like one of the only like muskets on the course. It's a little bit wooded. There's water to the left. And I mean, most people will throw like a little turned over forehand that comes back or a putter straight or a mid-range straight. I always threw Maverick on that shot. Low and on a baby hyzer at like 50%. It's because it's just so easy to keep it straight when you're not trying to overpower the shot. So take that 50, 60, 70% shot into consideration. Take one stability down and see what you can do with it. I think you'll be really impressed with how straight you can throw with a disc like, yeah, the Maverick or the Centurion, like you said, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Love it. Mr. Emil asks, hello, or says, hello from Sweden. I live in a city with no easy accessible spots for field work. I do have some spots where I can throw up to 80 meters or 262 feet for us Americans.
I already knew that.
You did?
No, not at all.
Wanting to practice my driving form, would you recommend I practice form with a slower disc or practice a lot less frequent when I can travel to a bigger field? If I do practice with approach putters, what downsides can I expect to see compared to using fairway drivers and distance drivers? He put FD and DD. Threw me off for a second.
I think he's in a good spot where
I could see it. I understood what you were saying.
You're so smart, Bobby.
You're the smartest guy ever.
I am intelligent. You're so smart, man. Go ahead, Eric.
I think he should do a little bit of the field work when he can, but understand what you're going to be able to work on. So you're going to get really good at your touch shots. You're going to get really good at those types of shots. You can work on your form to a lesser extent to try and have that be a building block to whenever you can apply some things to your distance driver form and fairway driver form. If you don't have access to that stuff, but you do have access to some courses, go play more courses. I know we talk a lot about field work being this great way to learn and get better, but if you don't have the proper space to work on your fairway driver and distance driver shots, go to the course and try and apply there if that is an option. And then when you have the opportunity, you understand that your fairway driver and distance driver game might be a little bit behind the rest of your game, but if you still are good at your putters and mids, it should have pretty solid translation into those faster discs.
Yep.
Sorry, trying to get
your butt.
Yes.
No.
One more thing to add to that while you're looking, Bobby. Throw a few discs on every hole. You know, if there's one hole that has that actually is an open field. One where you can air some discs out, man, take a few extra distance drivers for that day on the course and use that as a practice field. Throw, you know, 5, 6, 7 discs off of that. And if you're not holding anybody up, go and do it again. I almost always, when I go and play practice rounds, I'm throwing 2 shots off almost every tee. Like if I'm playing with friends and we're trying to compete, sure, just throw one. But man, if I'm playing alone, definitely throwing extra shots just to get those extra reps in.
Nice.
I mean, I threw so many extra shots today in my round, and I'm supposed to be taking it easy, but I was feeling good and just trying stuff out and getting it in. And that's the way we get better. It's like in your practice round, it doesn't have to be you're all going out, I'm scoring, I'm playing around, I have to score. Like, no. Like, I play more rounds not for score. Yeah, no. I if I'm going and playing a practice round, I'm never really scoring it. Yeah. When I usually do, it's just I just don't enjoy it. I don't have as much fun scoring my rounds. That's what tournament golf is for.
Yeah, unless I start off on a shredder.
Yeah, unless I'm shredding. And hey, Why haven't we gotten to 1,000 subs yet? Is up? 831.
We're getting there slowly but surely.
I do one. We need 169.
This is a family show. Why do I join? Why do I join when I know I don't want that?
You did this to yourself.
I know. Anyway, okay. So Chaser sent us a speak pipe. Speak.
Oh man! Nice. Alive.
He's back.
Speak pipe. I'm going to find a different service so I can don't have to ever say that word again.
That's a good idea.
All right, here we go.
That's a good idea.
Let me make sure. Hopefully I got it right. Oh, hey, Logan Stubb. Thank you so much, Logan.
Let's go. Appreciate that, not 69 anymore.
Thank you, God! Logan. And nobody better unsubscribe so we can see that again anyway.
We need 99 subs now.
All right, here we go.
What's up, DGAM crew? This is Shay from Philly with a question for you about some rules. I don't know if you saw on the Disc Golf Debate group, somebody mentioned that they had tweaked the definition for, you know, a legal disc and, you know, what it means to do a modification to a disc. And the person making the posts claim that the new rule somehow made now the gum putt and other, like, I guess the elevate discs, all the super malleable ones, become illegal if you intentionally fold them up into a ball, as we've seen, you know, Matt Bell do and throw it, saying that they've altered the disc characteristics. My argument is that a modification is a permanent change to something versus an adaptation, which is a, you know, like putting glow tape on a disc. It's not permanent. You can take it off and your disc is now legal for competition. Likewise, you can, you know, tune a disc. You can manipulate it a little bit before you throw it. You haven't permanently changed it, so it's legal. But this person was very adamant that, you know, gum putts and the like were all now illegal if you manipulate them to, you know, not fly like a frisbee. Just wanted to see if you saw this or heard any updates on the rules and what your thoughts are. Thank you, guys. And as always, keep it real.
I went hunting for said post and could not find it. But if we're talking about this, let's think about this. If bending and tuning is allowed, like, I don't see why balling one up is any different from that, like, in that capacity.
It's not.
Yeah. I don't think it makes it much easier to execute a shot to just ball one up and toss it out there. Like, that can easily go wrong, just like any other type of shot could. So, if we're being real, we'll stay on topic, but I think headphones should be a thing that are outlawed, because that's more performance enhancing than rolling your disc into a ball, because you are not distracted by anything else going on that everyone else has to deal with, and that is way more in the lines of things that we need to be bringing up on a debate group.
In that vein, should caffeine be taken out? In that vein of what you said, it's an enhancement. It enhances performance.
If you're putting caffeine directly into your veins, that's not very healthy. So yes. Just
right, but if I drink a monster drink, which we know can have up to 300 milligrams of caffeine, depending on what you drink,
I don't think, like, beverages and things like that are fine. Like, as far as energy drinks, coffee, and other things like that.
What if my beverage?
That's not taking away. What's that?
What if my beverage has a Walkman in it?
Yeah.
What if my beverage is a boombox I can hold on my shoulder?
Go ahead. You are killing me. No, I just like caffeine. You're still being, yeah, you have energy, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to play better. Where headphones in, the noise you're hearing, you know it. You can understand it. It's easy to tune out and be in the zone. Where a bird chirps, the wind blows and moves the trees and everything. All of those things can be distractions. All of those things can put you off. Other disc golf sounds on the course, somebody hits a huge putt and the crowd cheers. Those types of things are things that we have to deal with, and you having headphones in, you are oblivious to all of those things. And that, to me, defeats the purpose. LeBron James doesn't have headphones in when he goes and playing for the Lakers, nor does Tom Brady, nor does any soccer player, nor does any hockey player, nor does any golfer on the PGA Tour. They are not allowed to wear headphones as they play.
Right. So, they're not allowed to, so they don't. So that's not that's not a total fair comparison for the sake of, and I'm just doing this to get banter.
So that's not a
fair comparison to say, well, they don't do it in golf. Well, because they can't do it in golf.
And so, we shouldn't in disc golf is what I'm getting at.
Right. Okay. But here's the thing is that the way the rule is now, anybody and everybody can wear headphones. So why not? It's still a level playing field. It's still fair.
It's in the same vein of that goes. We follow with stuff like rangefinders during the round. Rangefinders in golf are used as a practice tool for you to take notes and do what you're supposed to figure out how to play the course. Same thing with headphones. Like it's in the same vein of you're using technology to improve the way you play when. really it's supposed to be you versus the course. You, your discs, and that's it. Now we have you, rangefinders, headphones if you want them, and then your discs. Like it we're adding too much to that level. So
in that line of thinking, I would agree with you.
Okay. See, my argument against headphones is less of a performance enhancement one and more of a safety one.
Yeah.
Because if you can't hear if somebody yells four and you get smoked by a disc, that's on you if you have headphones in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of a, like, you could get that rule pushed through better on a safety
based
issue
on the safety
than on
sure
a performance issue. Yeah. But let's circle back to the frisbee
back to
real
the
quick.
Frisbee.
Yeah.
Did you find the rule? Did you look it up?
I have the rule in front of me, but not the post.
Give
I
me
think
the,
Chase
what's
just
the,
said that the post
what's the
was
actual
deleted
wording? What's the actual wording of the what you can't
well,
do
it's,
to a
it's,
disc?
It's 813.01.
Right.
The pertinent section is section C. It says other modifications to a disc after production make the disc illegal, including but not limited to modifying the disc in a way that alters its original flight characteristics. So that's the one that would be most applicable here. But then the others are ones of a permanent nature. Excessively sanding the disc, etching, carving, or engraving the disc, adding a material of a detectable thickness, such as paint. So just as far as I read it, this is more of a spirit of the law question, right? Mm-hmm. So the other things in there are talking about permanent modifications, and I think that's what number one is referring to as well. When it says modifying the disc in a way that alters its original flight characteristics permanently is like what I think should be in there.
Yeah,
in parentheses.
I agree.
Because then it's exactly like you're talking about, Eric. Disc tuning, like, okay, I can't bend a disc at all to make it more understable or less understable, or even if you're really going to take that to the next step, I can't grip a disc too hard because it might alter its flight characteristics. Yeah. So for me, balling up something like a gum putt and throwing it, fine, go right ahead. I'm with you. That to me is no easier of a shot at that distance than just throwing a putter. Like I'm probably more accurate throwing a putter than I am throwing a balled up disc. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I got no problem with it.
Glow tape you shouldn't have glow tape on your disc during a tournament. Simple as that. That can impact it. If you played a glow round the night before and you're about to play a tournament round, take the glow tape off. It's not that hard. Permanently changing the disc is what this comes down to, and I don't think folding it or tuning it does that. I actually asked this question to Michael Downs of the PDGA because I do tune my discs. I do it a lot whenever I feel like, oh, I just want this to be a little bit more stable, so I'll start bending it up and start to fix it. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't do anything, and that's totally fine. But I asked Michael Downs about this. Basically, when they approved the Aerobie Epic for being legal, part of how that disc flies is you tune it. You bend it to change how it flies.
Right.
And in that vein, it should be legal to tune. And I'm not permanently changing, like, I'm not permanently doing something that isn't natural. Me bending it is me doing something natural. Me putting water in a disc and putting it in the microwave, that's not natural. Get and I know that. I know people do that, where they'll flatten discs and do things like that. That's not natural. That's when we're started getting into the point. But how would I know going into a tournament that you, Robert, flattened a disc if you just showed me? He's like, oh, that's just a flat blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just a flat disc. Like, that's crazy. That's awesome. I would never know. And you would, and if you don't tell anybody, nobody knows. Like, that's, so we're in that weird gray area. So I don't think balling it up is bad at all. It's too
me neither. The times that I've done what you're talking about, though, with boiling water in a disc, was to make a warp disc go back to having its original shape. So while I'm making a modification to it, it is for the purpose of getting it back to where it's not warped.
Mm-hmm. I like using it on the dash of your car. That's what I've been doing. Anytime I get something warped, I just toss it on the dash, leave it there for
makes
let
it
the
really
sun
soft.
Melt it. Yeah, it's easy to put. Yeah, back
feels like I've done it that way as well.
Feels like some of this is, you guys didn't find the original post, and you said you think it was deleted or something.
Yeah,
maybe. But it feels like this guy is. It's more like the semantics of the, you know, the word. The word. It's like, because like even when you said tune-up, Eric, I think it was Chaser said, at what point is too much tuning? So it's almost like someone's definition of tuning. Someone right. could be saying, well, I tune it up, and I sandpaper it to kind of tune it up. Whereas you're tuning up to you, you're saying, oh, I just kind of bend it and get it kind of bend the shape right. a little bit like that. So even with, because mm-hmm. even if you look, you know, I looked up the definition of characteristics. A feature or quality belonging typically to a person, place, or thing, and serving to identify it. So,
it's still a frisbee,
right? It's still a frisbee, and its intended purpose is for you to throw it into a basket. And so, I guess to me, balling it up isn't messing with its characteristics of being
I don't think
a
so either.
Frisbee. Yeah,
yeah.
So, I don't think so either. And as one of my old friends from the church that I worked at used to say, "I'm always down for semantics." So
wow,
he thought it was really funny, and now that I'm a father, I also think it's kind of
right. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. All right, next one comes from Chris. A few weeks ago, I threw my KC Pro off the tee and hit first available.
KC Pro.
My
what?
He just said KC Pro. My bad. KC Pro Rock. I did not see that. I skipped right over that. My bad. My disc split in two like a clay pigeon.
Here you go.
My question is, which of the two halves should I have played my lie from? Oh.
Yeah. Great
question.
Curious
if this has ever happened and if there's an official ruling for this situation. What you guys got?
Yeah. That's a great question. There is an official ruling for that.
Yeah.
It's whichever is the better lie for you. You get to choose. You just go to that spot, and then you get to play from it. That's not.
I heard that it was the bigger half.
It's not the rule.
No, it's the bigger. Oh. It's the bigger half.
Okay, that's what I was like. Oh, yeah. They might have changed. I mean, how many rules have they changed recently to be that's stuff fair. Like that recently? So like, you had me. No, but definitely play the bigger half.
It's the bigger half. It's the bigger half. Or if it splits into more than two pieces, it's the largest piece.
Yeah.
What if it's exactly
but also the one that's the
down.
Best lie?
What if it's exactly
if it's exactly
down
the same?
The
then that's benefit goes to the player. Play the better lie, like Robert said.
then you play both of them and keep your scores. And I'm just saying.
No, you're not watching my hands.
No, but then you have to play. Then you have to throw twice. So you're taking double the score. Get wrecked.
Yeah, that sucks.
You broke your disc, and now
practice
you have to put out twice. Oh, I'll be hard both times. Nice
round
six.
Of your life. Okay.
Okay, next question is from Danny. Apparently, they don't know what they're doing over there anymore, so Danny has to ask us.
Hey-o!
Throwing shade. I'm just kidding, Danny. Probably didn't even listen to the show, but if you do, I'm only kidding. In a tournament round, could a touring pro use someone else's disc if they lost one? For example, could Macbeth use a disc from Dickerson if they were on the same card and are from the same manufacturer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be the same manufacturer. It could literally be anyone's.
There's not anything in the competition rules where it says, oh, this is your sponsor. You have to throw these discs. If you don't, you're disqualified. No, it's just your sponsor will be like, yo, what are you doing throwing other manufacturers?
And you're fired.
Why would you do that? Yeah. So it's only just, like I have in my time with DD, I putted out like, oh, hey, could I borrow your putter? Like grab their putter out of the basket and then dropped my putter in. So technically, while I was with DD, I threw with someone else's disc.
I didn't know that. AVR. At the time. Was I working
or
for
a
them
Luna
at the time?
Or whatever?
How
if I'd have known that,
dare you?
How dare you?
And every time we do that, you say, "Oh, don't tell my sponsor."
I would have never filmed you again.
Always funny. Now, I wouldn't recommend this. Like, it's just great idea. But if one of your playing partners, if you say like, "Hey, can I throw that disc?" and it is uniquely marked, it has to be uniquely marked. But it doesn't has to be your name. It can just be uniquely marked, period. Then you can throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Eric, can I borrow some discs at the next tournament? to throw.
Yeah, I got you, dude.
Can we play on the same card and then just carry one bag and then just we just go back and forth?
Dude, who gets to choose first? That. We should find hilarious. A tournament in Texas and just be like, yo. No, we have to be on the same card. We have the same bag.
No. Can we please play together? Because otherwise, I don't have any disc, or he doesn't have any disc, one or the other.
Yeah, one of us DNFs. This is
you know what's going to happen.
You're going to do that to us?
You're going to ask that question, and we're standing next to each other and go, aren't you basically the same people? The same person?
Yeah, and we'll be like, yeah, just wait till we throw, and then you'll know which of us is actually better.
See, I'm already previously recorded, so you don't actually know that Robert and I don't exist in... That's aren't true. Just the same person. That's true. This is all previously recorded. We're just really good at timing.
Improvisers.
we should do a show with you, you two on here, and Drew Gibson, and just have people guess who you are, who's who.
Dion Arlen actually fits the mold too. By the way,
Dion's hair, isn't he more of a reddish? He's a little guy though.
He's got a little, but when he has a hat on, he's got the beard, glasses. Yep. Looking fresh. So
mm-hmm.
That's funny.
That dude throws far, by the way.
Good
underrated, Lord. Underrated far thrower, Dion.
Yeah, Arlen. Dion Arlen and Alex Geising are the people that people don't really know that are just next level distance. Like they're in the one percenters that nobody knows.
Yeah, yeah. Alex throws farther than Dion, in my opinion, but Dion rips it. Like he's one of those guys that if he's on tour, he's up there in the top, 20 guys who are just sending it.
Yeah, he's awesome.
One last question from Andy. Eric, as an infant-sponsored athlete, are you able to throw any disc? Are there any manufacturers' discs you are not allowed to use for competition?
I can use anything.
Anything.
Any PDGA.
I literally have infinite possibilities of the disc.
Oh, I actually have finite. Possibilities because there is a set number of discs that are approved, so I'm wrong.
But of those infinite possibilities,
it's actually pretty cool. And I mean, my bag is filled out more than it normally has been. Like when I was with Discmania, I shrunk it down once I had the discs that I really liked. You know, same concept with DD. It's like once I had the ones that I was like, yep, this is it, I would kind of. Like, oh, I don't need this EMAC. I don't need this because I already had another EMAC that flew that did both shots. And I would start to take molds out really quick with that. But right now, my bag is kind of wall-to-wall and the sides filled because I'm just loving the amount of opportunities and options that I have. Like, I'm bagging a polecat because I can. And it's unique in certain situations for, it flies like a berg, but can actually get play right or left, and a little bit more glide. So it's there are times where I might be a patent pending turnover that that I need to be a little bit shorter than what a fierce or something can do. I might pull out the polecat, so I might bag a polecat. So it's there are going to be discs that come in and out and there's so much to it that I'm loving. With the possibilities that are in front of me. It's been dope.
So let me ask you this. Because of that, now, do you have what they call the paradox of choice? Meaning you have so much...
I don't bag
much
a paradox, actually.
meaning there's so much choice. How do you settle on the disc that you want to throw?
They call that it paralysis by analysis.
Yes.
Nice paranalysis. It is. I run into that issue. I ran into that issue anyways. Like that is a that happens to all pros, but that comes from preparation.
Yeah, now you have even more.
But your preparation should show you what you should be throwing. Like when I practice the course, what I'm jamming on for the day, whatever disc is coming out the best for me, then that's it. I simply stick to that, trust it, and do my best. And I can run into issues where, oh, I threw my Exodus. Probably should have thrown my Votum, which are very similar, but one has a little bit more fade. But I don't think there will be many situations where throwing my Exodus instead of my Votum, where, oh, the result is going to be just absolutely atrocious, and I'm killing myself out there, because the discs are similar enough that the shot shouldn't be that different. So that's where I'm at.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. I'm sorry. I was laughing. Danny's online now, and
he says, oh, Baby Flicks. Oh, what's up, Danny? Baby Flicks.
Yeah, I'm not standing for this slander. Danny, you know me, dude. I'm just kidding. By the way, congrats. He's engaged as well.
Engaged.
Congrats, man. Yeah. I wish I would have been there to congrats you in person. I like to congrats people.
Nick Makumba in the chat, my boy. Dude, so he's a Pensacola local. Danny. Shout out. That dude is awesome.
Who?
Nicholas Makumba.
Makumba. Nice.
Hey, Nick Makumba, make sure you're subscribed to Disc Golf Answer Man.
Yes. Danny, make sure you're subscribed too, please.
Yes, please.
Maybe you
Gabe
can
Gabe Serrano in the chat. Wow, dude, look at this chat popping.
I know, huh? All right, so that's all the time we have for the questions. That's all we have. I don't know if there's something. Oh, do you have any couple discs you've been jamming on,
Mr. Polecat? the Polecat. No, I actually got, I have a couple discs that I'm going to be testing out here soon. I got a huge box of Lone Star discs. I got a bunch of Lone Star discs that it sucks because I probably won't get to, like, attempt to bag any of these, but they wanted me to test some stuff out, so I'm going to try and do a couple reviews at least on some of the discs before the season starts, to at least have a compile of some stuff that I'm throwing. I also have this Gateway Prophecy, which is probably going to be the first in my I'm going to be doing, like, I haven't thought of the name, and maybe you guys can help me right now come up with a name, where they're going to be short videos, but they're going to be honest disc reviews. And I was just thinking, like, EO disc reviews was just like the simple thing to call it, because I already have the Is That Good series.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So not that. So EO disc reviews. I had the Building the Bag series. I have an In the Bag coming out, but I'm going to be doing like this Prophecy. I'm going to grab a couple Lone Star discs, and they're generally going to be. I'm not going to grab, like, I'm doing a Destroyer review. Like, everybody can find that. Like, I'm going to do it on molds and companies that are. I don't want to call them small brands. I want to call it, like, it's just off the path. Popular. They're you have to go digging to find these companies, kind of thing. So,
I'll come up with a video series title for you.
Yeah, just do make it. Sure. Obviously, make sure,
like,
it has
just
the
like
words.
On the Patreon. What was it? It was the warts thing. Warts. You don't want them, so we'll take them, or something like that. All right, yeah. See, the marketing G. It's in there. Okay,
it's
so
in there. It's in the hair.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah,
I'll get back to you on that.
Make sure it has the word disc golf in it. Make sure it has the word review in it, because you want to get that SEO. Mm-hmm. SEO.
We'll see.
Cool. Finding and that'll be the fairways. On the Whale Pants.
That's cool.
The Whale Pants, Huya?
That'll probably be on the Whale Pants channel. Some of them might actually get posted to the Infinite Disc channel as well, so it might be shared. Because they're going to be supplying most of the discs. I think what I will hopefully do is, you know, run a couple of them, put them out, and use people's comments about discs they want to see me review next, and then talk with Infinite, have them send me a box of discs, do the reviews, and see how it goes. Like, I can already tell you, like, first off, like, I want to be honest, like, I pick up the Prophecy, it's a beaded mid-range, like, I'm already like, nope. Like, initial, like, it could fly great, but this does not feel as good as a Pathfinder. This doesn't feel good. So I want to be able to say that without it being like, oh my God, he's trashing this company. It's like, no, I'm just being honest, like, about my personal thoughts and feelings. This is probably a great mid-range. I've heard Dave Felberg actually is a huge fan of the Prophecy. But for me, it's just a type of shape that I'm never hunting for and never looking to have, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. It's going
to
be good.
I'll get back to you on a video series title.
Please, please do. And if anybody in the chat has some that can beat out Robert so you can hold that over his head for the rest of his life that you helped name my series and he didn't, please let me know.
We will put it in the description that Robert, this was better than Robert's title.
Yes,
idea.
That will be in every description.
Right. It'll be a little lower third. By the way, please subscribe.
Yeah. And to those of you submitting ideas, I say this to you. Good luck.
Good luck. You'll need it. Just Tulsa is a username. He wants to know my favorite course in the metro. I don't know if I have a favorite course in Tulsa Metro. I've played pretty much all Riverside, Hickey Creek, Hunter Park, McClure, the Mohawks.
Is Tulsa Black Hawk, Red Hawk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mohawk Park, yeah. Those are some good courses. They'll get you. They'll bite you in the rear if you don't pay attention. But there's some good courses out here. Let's see. What else was I going to say? Oh, by the way, you said something about doing honest reviews. Yes. Do honest reviews. We don't want any lies in your reviews. So that's always a good angle to go at. Be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I did a good job in the Building the Bag series where it was I knew what I was looking for and mm-hmm. the types of discs from seeing people throw. And then when I put something in my hand, if I didn't like it, I'm not going to like, oh, this is just amazing. Like, this disc is great. It totally could make my bag. It's like, no, I wanted to be like, nope, this has a bead. Not really what I'm looking for. And I had to say that. But discs can still fly really good, but they might not feel good. And right.
To you.
I have to... To me. Exactly. Okay. That's exactly.
You
want to
make sure
that's,
you get across.
Yeah, and I think that I think I did a good job, but who knows.
Now, Robert, right, did you hear so what I,
just,
the idea...
Just
wait.
One...
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, just say the.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead,
Robert.
Wait.
I'll remember.
Okay. Did you hear the name for Tina's whale? Her plant stuff. I came up with the name
soil?
For that? Huh?
Sun no. and soil.
No, the other thing she's doing. Whale plants.
What's the other one?
Whale plants.
Whale plants.
Oh yeah, that's a win. It's a big win.
It's a good one.
So just preliminary thoughts on the video series title. Maybe something like, is this disc right for you? Just something like that's just off the top of my head. Just
easy. I mean, it flows. Flows.
I'm not gonna say that it's right or wrong. It's just what I came up with in the moment. Right, so take it or leave it.
I kind of like that idea. I think it'd be a great name for a series. All right, so one last thing before we go, I want to say this is my Jerry Springer moment, I guess, at the end where he kind of gives a little reflection, is that it was kind of cool to appreciate disc golf, and what I'll tell the story, and what it was just kind of a cool moment. So me and the lady I'm dating were out eating, and we were with her kids, and I grabbed my phone and was checking the U-Disc scores, right? Mm-hmm. And I was seeing how that Ricky was in the lead and Paige Pierce was in the lead. And I was like telling her about Paige Pierce as a 5-time world champion. She was like, wow, 5-time world champion. And then Ricky was a 2-time and, you know, things like, and just kind of, then I knew these people and then I filmed them and worked with them and stuff like that. So it's like, wow, that's really cool. And then I said, oh, let me show you this. And I showed her the James Conrad, the holy shot. And she was like, man, that's amazing. And it just made me appreciate seeing it from new eyes, how awesome it is and how cool it is. And she didn't know disc golf was a thing. You know, it's just, and it just brought me back to when you introduce somebody to disc golf and they're just amazed by it. It's just kind of cool. So I don't know. It just gave me kind of appreciation for disc golf and everything that's going on. So anyway,
disc golf is really cool.
Yeah.
I think we forget that a lot. And I have been in a place where I haven't been able to play disc golf. And I want to find that just like disc golf is actually really fun. Even if a course is not to your liking, it's still dope. You yep. still get to throw a disc. You still get to try your best. Like if a hole is overly punishing or set up weird or whatever, you still get to have an opportunity to step up on a tee pad and manipulate a disc to give you a chance to score. That's awesome. Right.
Yeah,
and I think
be a top tier professional to appreciate that, you know.
Exactly.
And bonus, it's not your real job. You don't get money if you throw this disc well or not. And that's what for me. That's why I've liked going to play lately. Is like if I mess up, who freaking cares? But I'm not going to be hesitant on just trying to absolutely send a shot because there are no consequences other than getting to see a cool shot come out of your hand. So it's fun, man. I'm the same as you guys. I've had a little rekindling of how exciting it is to be able to play it.
Yeah, I'm glad.
It's awesome.
I'm glad for the nice weather, and to be able to get Eli out to play a little bit more. It'd be really cool to play some courses here in Tulsa. So All right, cool, guys. Got to go. Got to get some stuff done. Appreciate you getting hopping on board. Appreciate you YouTubers watching. Appreciate you guys listening.
Subscribe.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel. What do we got going on? I believe I will be at Jonesboro.
Sick.
Yeah, so I believe I'm going to travel out there for a couple days, do some...
Should we film on Monday together? Or no, you probably won't be in on Monday.
I was saying we could do
D-Gam together. Oh. And then we could sit, and we could use the same mic, and I could just snuggle next to you.
Okay, yeah.
What? That's what everyone wants.
What? Yeah.
No, wait, what?
That's what? What? I'm sorry, what? I believe a bit. Hopefully I'll see some people out there at Jonesboro, say hi to some people. But it'll be my first time traveling quite a bit since for disc golf, so it'll be kind of cool.
It's going to be sweet. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. All right, gentlemen. We'll see you on the next show.
Bye, everybody. Bye.